So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
Asking for the news there, do you know someone who doesn't wear a mask? Do they have a good reason? Do they have a bad reason? Is there a convincing reason? Are they convinced? What's the reason? Let's hear from you, Larry. Go ahead. You're on WGN.
Yeah, I got a friend that lives outside of Madison, Wisconsin, and he won't wear a mask because he believes the virus was instigated by the Democrats to make Donald Trump and the administration look bad.
So is he concerned?
And you can't convince him differently.
Is he concerned, though, about getting COVID? Is that
no, he doesn't believe it. But then again, all he listens to is Fox News.
Okay. Well, that's where he is. That's where he is. So there's no convincing him. There's nothing you can do. Thanks for the call,
that's
Larry.
That's it. You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye. You know, you hear stuff all the time. Like, oh, look, I don't find them very comfortable. I wear them everywhere I go out because I feel like it's respectful to other people. If it's protecting me in some way, that's great. If it's protecting others, that's great too. We now just learned today, the governor announced this afternoon that you now have to wear them. It's a new rule in Illinois starting tomorrow, I believe. We have to wear one if you're ordering at a restaurant or you're interacting with wait staff or servers or bartenders, anywhere in the state. That's the new rule. So now, you know how when you sit down at most places now, you can take off your mask and eat. And, you know, it's then only when you're moving around the restaurants, go to the bathroom or leaving and coming and going, do you have to wear one? Now that's changed. But the reason I brought all this up too is because, there is someone, a friend of mine, who has been denied service at multiple places, because he won't wear a mask. But his reason for not wearing a mask is much different than some of those you've probably heard. Air Force Master Sergeant Israel Del Toro. I call him DT. So he's a Purple Heart recipient. He was serving in Afghanistan. An IED blew up his Humvee, and he wasn't supposed to make it. He's gone through 150-plus surgeries, and he's battled back. And he's this incredible person who's a motivational speaker. He just recently retired from the Air Force, and I was honored, and it was so totally cool, and I was a thrill to be out there for your retirement. DT, how are you?
I'm good, Anna. How you been?
How's the family? How's everybody?
Good. You know, I do have an issue with you that, you know, you demoted me.
I did it again.
Yeah.
Wait. Tell me your rank. So please, I did this last time. I'm so sorry. Okay, go ahead. What is it?
Senior Master Sergeant.
Senior Master Sergeant. Thank you.
Yeah, there you go.
When I met you, you were Air Force Staff Sergeant, and that's always in my head because that was like how many years ago? I don't know, 12?
Yeah, 2006 air time frame around there.
Even longer. Okay. That's, a long time ago we were doing some events to raise money for some injured vets who came home, and, we were, you know, trying to pay for some of the things that point government didn't pay for, getting cars outfitted for disabilities and homes and things like that. And I just remember being struck by you back then, because you have this positive outlook on life and you always are this way. I mean, just, in a way that's infectious and why so many people just love, you know, hearing from you. I know you've done a lot of speaking and that kind of thing. And I just heard about this because I saw this headline hit, and I know you're from the Chicago area. You've been out in Colorado Springs because you've been working with the Air Force. And then suddenly I see that you've been denied service, at a gym, at the canteen or something, or like in airports. I don't know. Tell me what your experience is.
Yeah, well, I've been denied three times. The one that really hurt me the most was when I was denied access to the commissary on the military base, which the commissary is like where we buy our food. So that one hurt probably the most.
On the Air Force base?
On the Air Force base. Huh. Then I got denied at my local bank. And then recently, you know, last week was at my local gym.
That was the one that made news, and I saw that cross, and so I called you media and said, really? So describe the reasons why you cannot wear it for people who have not met you, DT. I know that, you know, you went through incredible surgeries because of the burns all over your body, and for years you were going through surgeries as I've known you, and you've just, you know, you've dealt with it with the most grace and positive attitude of anyone I can imagine, who's gone through this before. And I just wonder, explain to people what it is that you now deal with and why it is you aren't wearing a mask.
Well, the issue is like, you know, a lot of our local government has done a good job, you know, trying to contain it. But when we hear sometimes our local leaders do press conferences and say, you know, someone can deny you, a business can deny you service for not wearing a mask, just like not wearing a shirt or shoes, and that's all they say. But when I first heard it, I was like, I knew right away, like, dude, you just messed up. You're going to get business into trouble. Because, you know, not wearing shoes or shirt, I can remedy that. But someone that's disabled, or like myself, that has missing limbs, or he can't, like myself, needs to really burn, that can't regulate their body temperature or can't breathe because I have inhalation burns, saying something like that just totally, not just screwed the disabled person, but the businesses. So, you know, one of the main reasons I can't, you know, besides my physical disabilities, like, I hate to say deformities, you know, being severely burned, you know, I lost my ear. So obviously I can't wear the mask around my ears, and I can't breathe. It's already hard enough for me to breathe. I tell people my day, how I feel every day when I wake up and when I walk around, I tell them, put on a corset, put it as tight as you can. Now live up in, at 7,000 feet above sea level. And now, cause you have, you know, inhalation burns, now use something to cover your mouth. Because I really can't breathe out of my nose because of my injuries. So you can say I'm a mouth breather. So that's one of the reasons. Like, I tried a bandana, and it just doesn't work. So people started saying, well, you know, wear those ones that go over your head, the space shields. And my thing is, like, I tell them, like, people don't understand. A severely burned patient, like myself, you know, I have 30-degree burns on 80% of my body, cannot regulate their body temperature. Like, you can ask anyone, you'll never see me wear a hat because I just can't tolerate it. And my skin's so sensitive. Like, when my barber cuts my hair, he has to be so careful because he has nicked me and cut me because my skin's so thin. So putting something around my forehead, you know, will make me overheat. And I don't go through the different stages that normal people go through, from, you know, being hot to feel dehydrated, to I go from being hot straight to heat stroke. Mm-hmm. So that was one of my main reasons, you know, why I can't, well, the reason I can't wear a mask. And trust me, I would wear it if I could, but I just can't. My body won't tolerate it. My lungs won't tolerate it. And it sucks that I keep going through it, but I also see it as, you know what? If I got to go through this to help inform the public and our leadership that you can't discriminate against somebody with a disability if they can't wear a mask. You can't deny them service. It's against the ADA, the Americans with Disability Act of 1990, which falls under the Civil Rights Act. And even there in Title III under the ADA, it says you cannot discriminate someone with a disability based on their disability. And I'm like, why can't I wear a mask? Because of my disability. So that's why, you know, I'm happy to be, I guess, the person that the businesses, you know, make the mistakes on. Because I do get messages on my social media from other people with disabilities saying, you know, thanks for being our voice. Thanks for fighting for us, you know, because we feel like we don't have a voice. And sometimes people just really almost feel like second-class citizens.
Yeah.
You know, no. Go ahead.
DT, I'm just hearing your story, and I know most of your story, but I'm hearing even what you're adding to it in terms of your experiences wearing a mask and knowing you and knowing the way. What I know about you is that you're calm and thoughtful and that you explain things really well and you have a doctor's note and there are clear injuries when you meet you people know, by just seeing you that you're not making this up. And I just wonder when you go into a gym or you go to an airline and you got the doctor's note, How is it possible that they're actually refusing you, this decorated Air Force veteran, service or access to these places?
Well, so, you know, some of these, you know, they just don't know. You know, they hear what our local leaders say and don't read actually the wording that says, oh, unless they have a medical condition that prevents them to wear a mask. But, you know, let's be real. Most people are leaders. They're not going to read a law or they're not going to read a mandate. You know, they're just going to go off to what they see on TV. But it does baffle me, like, especially, you know, when I'm taking my son. We're driving tomorrow to take him to college. And I was going to fly back. Well, I've been seeing on TV where airlines have kicked off two-year-olds so they don't wear a mask. And I was like, obviously, you've never had a two-year-old. Good luck with that. And even a person with autism. So I called the airline like I was going to fly, and I asked. And they're like, yeah, you know, you have to wear a mask. And I'm like, ma'am, I have a medical condition. I even have a letter. Because I'm for a business saying, well, if you can't wear it, let me see the medical letter from a doctor proving it. Because, you know, there's people out there that are going to take advantage of the system. And they're like, yeah, even with the medical, you still can't fly, which baffles me because that's literally against federal law. But yet, you'll see these airlines where the situations happen. You can't wear a mask, but they're packed. So obviously social distancing goes out the door.
I love that, DT. I do love that. That is such an irony that they're trying to say we're here for your safety and everyone has to wear a mask. And then they seat you a half an inch away from somebody you don't know and a foot away in each direction from people you don't know because the monetary side of things, they decide that all that goes out the window, right? That doesn't matter suddenly when it has to do with the dollars that they need in order to fly.
Right. You know, they pick and choose what, I guess, regulations they want to follow, which is, again, baffles me. Like I said, it really bugged me when I did see that story on that autistic kid. Anyone that's autistic know that they have a pattern. And a lot of times, like, they have sensibility, texture, sensations on there where they don't like to be touched or they don't like certain things touching them. So, you know, like, stuff like that, it just baffles me how they get away with that. And, you know, hopefully our local leaders, you know, local politicians or, you know, state governments start enforcing federal law, because again, disabled Americans should not feel like they're second class. You know, they shouldn't feel like they can't come out. Because trust me, I got comments where people's like, "Well, stay home, don't go to the gym," and usually I don't answer back to a lot of people. You know, but when I was hearing people saying I should just stay home, I was like, "Let me tell you a little bit about myself." The only reason I survived, you know, because they gave me a 15% chance to live. The only reason I survived, the doctors even told my wife, is like, because her husband was in great shape. He worked out. He wasn't a smoker. He wasn't out of shape. I mean, so now you're telling me I shouldn't work out and I should just stay home in a cave. And God forbid, if I do get this virus, my body isn't strong enough to beat it. I'm already at a disadvantage with my inhalation burns. So now you want to make it worse where I can't get stronger. So, and it wasn't just, you know, strangers that would write stuff. I hate to say it, but it was even family members, you know.
Yeah.
And it just fascinated me. You know, my thing is, like, I never thought in my lifetime I would see so many people afraid of dying that they stopped living. You know.
Yeah.
It really baffles.
DT, can you hang on just a second? I have to pause for just a moment. Do you have a few minutes for me? Okay.
Of course.
Thank you. And then we're going to get back with DT Israel Del Toro. In just a minute here, he is a senior master sergeant in the Air Force, recently retired Israel Del Toro. He's from the New Lenox area and just a powerful story. He's standing up for those with disabilities who truly cannot wear masks. And we're going to just pause and be back with DT in a minute. Couple of your texts, and back with DT, who does not wear a mask. He's an injured veteran. He's got a doctor's note, the whole thing, yet he's been refused service at so many different places. He's trying to educate and get the word out that there are, in fact, some people who cannot wear masks, but it's not because they're being difficult or, you know, outrageous in any way. It's because they really, really cannot. 847, I have a cousin in Colorado who refuses to wear a mask because they're the only county in the state with zero cases of the virus. Okay, 630, I'm severely burned as well, and the mask is very hard for me. That's the point DT was talking about with us. Let's take one call here real quick. Donna, go ahead. You're on WGN.
Hi. I'm disabled, too, and I understand when you're denied admittance to places, even though there's an ADA. The problem is that so many people have abused the Disabilities Act by getting notes from the doctors that airlines and other places have been put into a precarious place. So can I make a few suggestions?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, my suggestions are, first of all, besides having a note from his doctor, have him get a copy. You can get it in a small card with the ADA law on it, and also a copy of his military card. Put those in plastic, and as far as being with people, ask them to be as far away from other people as possible. But also, if you can carry some cloth handkerchiefs with him. So if he has to be close geographically to other people, he can put that up to his nose and his mouth as needed.
All right. Thank you, Donna. Thank you for raising the awareness about it. I think, though, DT, you were saying that that's something you cannot do because of your burns. That it is, it's not possible for you to actually hold something against your skin, that it can be painful.
Right. Like I said, I've tried different, you know, when I was like, well, I'll try this. And again, I literally have to rip it off because I feel like I'm not breathing. And then I'm overheating. I appreciate Donna, I think was her name,
yeah.
That called.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, I've done that. I've done it, but again, people just don't know the law. That's what it is. Businesses don't know the law, and people like to say, "Well, it's not. This ain't covered under the ADA." It's like, yes, it is. Read the ADA, read Title IX, and it says, you know, it prohibits public accommodations from discriminating against individuals with disabilities. Public accommodations include private-owned, leased, or operated facilities like hotels, restaurants, retail, doctor's offices, golf courses, private schools, daycare centers, and so on and so on. So, you know, people just don't inform themselves.
You know, I appreciate you raising the awareness on this, and I think it's awesome because it feels as if someone like you, whose injuries are visible, that's not always the case, right? And so people with disabilities are, obviously there are a lot of folks, I didn't even realize this, are having issues with getting access to different places because of this. And you're trying to say, hey, when you have all the documentation, when you legitimately are disabled and cannot wear a mask, that you have to be admitted, right? And they just, people aren't up to date on that law.
Well, they're not up to date. And like Donna said, people, like I said, we hate to say it, but there are scumbags out there that take advantage, that don't want to wear a mask and say, well, I have a medical exception. Like I said, I'm for business to say, let me see a letter from a doctor. Because we've seen it, you know, we hate to bring it up, but we've seen it with the service animals. You know, here in Walmart, I've seen miniature horses walk in, and the person say, that's my service animal.
It's like a dog park. I know, everywhere you go. Airplanes, too, now. And DT, I only have a minute here, and I know you've been incredibly involved in the Warrior Games in the past. In fact, you and Prince Harry became buds. You got an ESPY Award. Yeah, I mean, all these things have happened to you in your life and well-deserved because you're a hero. And I wonder, what is the status of Warrior Games for injured veterans and beyond? Do you know what's going on there?
Well, right now, you know, of course, of the whole COVID thing, you know, got postponed, just like the Olympics and Paralympics. You know, I'm not sure, you know, honestly, for me, I love the work. I've been part of it. I helped, you know, start it. I was in the beginning, they asked me my opinion. But I've seen how the Warriors have changed, and it's lost a lot of what it was meant for. It was meant for people with disabilities, service members with disabilities, to come out of the dark and start living again. And it's almost become more of a, we just want to win, and really not, let's put in people that need this, even though they may not win, but they're out there living to help them. And so I actually would like them, if they're going to continue with the Warrior Games, to bring it back to what it was meant for.
Well, maybe this is the time to do that. You know, this is sort of a turning point in so many ways to reexamine what you were doing there. Please keep me posted on that. I guess you're probably not traveling back home here anytime soon, it sounds, right, DJ?
I continue the good fight, man. Of course, people say, well, get a hold of your congressman and all that to try and change. I was like, it's an election year. Right now, most of them are so busy about getting reelected, it's almost hard to get a hold of them. But, people like yourself, man, putting me on the radio and, the local news here, putting me on the news to help inform, and maybe one of them sees it and says, hold on, let's look at this. Why are we, treating our disabled like this?
Question.
So,
thank you, DT. I appreciate what you're doing. Thanks for sharing it with the audience. I appreciate it.
No problem. Hopefully, more people get out there and, fight the good fight, and especially the airlines, where they're kicking off kids, two-year-olds and autistic, and won't let people with disabilities on, but yet...
Pay attention. Right.
Yeah, they'll have a full flight.
Thank you, DT. Say hi to the family for me.
Will do, Anna. Same to you.